Hello, Madison. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. And hello, you that are listening by the World Wide Web, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in America, anywhere in the world. We're so glad to have you join us once again right here on Let's Talk About Jesus. My, we're excited today about bringing you a message from God's eternal word, and we pray that you're excited about receiving it today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, regardless of your background, I just pray that you will stay tuned to the remainder of this broadcast today. Take some time to invest in eternity. That's where you're going to live forever. Amen. We're so caught up with investing in the temporal, and we need to take care of our families, and we need to take care of our life responsibilities. But we need, more importantly, to make sure that we are making provision for where we're going to live forever. Make no mistake about it, you're going to live forever somewhere. God wants you to live with Him in heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm glad to be a minister today of the good news of Jesus Christ that is called the gospel. That's what the gospel means. It's good news. Praise God. And in a day with so much bad news, I am so glad to be called and commissioned to bring the good news of God's great salvation plan to all who will hear it. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful Savior we serve today. We'd like to invite you to come to our website. You'll get an opportunity to download any sermons that you would like to by title, any of the recent past broadcast right here on WMAF. You can download them if you would so like. There's no strings attached. We don't log your IP number. There's nothing. You don't get spam in the mail. So don't be afraid to come to our website. Check us out. We have our statement of faith, our affiliation denominationally, and we just pray that you will come and visit with us at THCOG. Just type that in on your search engine. Take you to the Holy Church of God, Tampa. There's a Holy Church of God in Texas. We're the one in Tampa, Pastor Robert Venable. Also, just type in Pastor Robert V-E-N, V as in victory, V-E-N-A-B-L-E, and it will take you also to our website, and we would be so glad to have you come and browse around and spend a little time there on computer if you're receiving this broadcast on the World Wide Web. Now today, with no further ado, we want to go to some scripture that will teach us how to be truly happy. I want to talk about happiness today, and I want to make a statement up front. If you believe that happiness is still based on happenings, you're not going to live a very happy life. There is no guarantee that trouble is not going to come to you, Christian or non-Christian. In fact, the Bible said, Jesus speaking, in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. The Greek word is thelpsis that he used, and it means pressure and anguish. We're all going to know those times of heartache and heartbreak, pressure and trouble. But in the midst of all of this, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, you have every reason to live a truly blessed life. Praise God, that is representative of and represented by happiness instead of sadness, delight in the Lord instead of depression in your life. So let's get into the Word of God today. I'm excited about this message because we're living in a time that it's easy to become fatalistic and depressed and depressive. It's an oppressive time in so many areas, but there is hope in Jesus, and that is what I want to bring you today. When you're really, really right with God and you put your trust in Him, it gives you a spirit of optimism that is biblically based. Praise God. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. How to live a truly happy and blessed life, no matter what the circumstances. It said, "For he that will love life and see good days. I want to read that statement again out of verse 10 before we read 11 and 12. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It'll help maybe bring out some of the finer points of this scripture. Listen to it. It said, For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil, his lips from guile, which means treachery or deceit. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it, and let him do right. Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbedness from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relations with God, with your fellow men, and with yourself, but pursue, go after them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, I make this statement, I suppose, hundreds of times in almost 36 years of pastoring here in Tampa at the same church, by the way, the Holy Church of God Incorporated. Listen, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. It is the master key to God's blessings and living a happy, fulfilled life. When anyone truly gets right with God, it doesn't put them in a religious box. It sets them free from Satan's prison. I want you to hear that again today. Getting truly right with God doesn't put you in a religious box where you live in a vacuum of some kind of empty spirituality. It does not do that. It sets you free from Satan's prison house to serve the living and true God. And friend, there's joy in this journey. There's happiness in this life. Happiness, therefore, is linked to God's blessing. And God's blessing is linked to peace with God. The word blessed in the Bible literally means happy to be envied in most cases. I want to say that again, happy to be envied. So what is the secret of happiness in a world with so many bad happenings? The United States Declaration of Independence enshrines the right of everyone to listen to this: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To pursue happiness. But why is happiness so elusive? The world energetically and enthusiastically runs after happiness, but it always seems to be just beyond its grasp. The relentless pursuit of happiness drives the age we live in, doesn't it? But the perpetual failure to grasp it only amplifies the misery. Someone asked Michael Jackson, that was close to him, as stated on one of the news broadcasts not too long ago, "Are you happy?" before he passed away. And he said, "I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied." If anyone knows the definition of happiness, it's impossible to be happy and not be satisfied. Because that dissatisfaction will make you unhappy and take away from your happiness. Ah, but the Bible says, "Happy is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help." Happiness begins with a right relationship with God. And then it says, if you live for Him, godliness with contentment is great gain. It truly fulfills. It makes us truly rich. One person said that he is happiest who has fewest wants. Praise God. In other words, if we find contentment in our life and with our life, and with our God and our relationship with Him, and we're spiritually fulfilled by Him, we can be happy without always having to pursue something different and something else in this never-ending vicious circle to find fulfillment. Perhaps it's just nostalgia on my part, but it seems to me that it all used to be much simpler. Now we have to read books called things like Authentic Happiness, using the new positive psychology and pop psychology to realize your personal potential for lasting fulfillment. You know, one person stated it very truly when he said that America is one of the most blessed. In spite of our recent economic downturns, we're still one of the most envied, most blessed nations of the world. That's why so many people are trying to get here, taking all kinds of risk to get into this country. And friend of mine, that is true. We are one of the most blessed nations of the world, but also a nation with more books than any other nation on how to be happy. Or could we read the Bible, where the tried and tested secret of happiness was recorded a few thousand years ago? Here it is, written down by King David in Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is traditionally classed a so-called penitential psalm, which sounds a bit gloomy, but that obscures the fact that its main theme is, in fact, happiness. It starts with happiness. The word translated blessed here is not the normal Hebrew word for blessed, but another word common in the Psalms, which much more nearly means happy. Literally happy to the point of being envied because you have found what so many people are looking for and cannot find. This is not just superficial buzz, but the deep foundation of contentment and joy in our lives. The psalm ends, too, on the theme of joy. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Going to look at what David has to say about this matter in three themes: his theology, his experience, and his advice. I want to just underpin all of this by making that statement that I continue to make. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. You know, you've got an enemy of your soul that'll tell you, if you really come to God, get truly right with Him, start to live right in your life before Him, that you're not going to be happy. Those sins that I call them pet sins, the one that we feel like we just can't do without, that we cherish and hold dear, and the thought of giving them up, we can't hardly bear the thought of not being able to do those things. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. If you give up those sins to be right with God and repent of them and ask Christ to be your Savior, or if you're a Christian and you've got a pet sin that you're holding on to keep you from truly being right with God, I'm telling you, if you will give those things up, God will fill whatever place in your life and your heart and your mind that sin is trying to fill and can't ever truly do that. God will fill that vacuum. He won't leave you empty. He will fill that with His presence. And the Bible said in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand is pleasure forevermore. It sounds like happy to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Psalm 32. I'm going to read it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, listen, friend, my bones waxed old with my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture's turned into the drought of summer. Salah. Listen. He said, listen. Listen. When I wasn't right with God, when I had unconfessed sin in my life, I was like a storm was going on in my very bones day and night. Thy hand was heavy on me. Listen, that hand of God, that convicting arm of God, that feeling that I'm wrong with my God. Listen, that's a terrible feeling. And God in His grace lets us experience that, so that we will come back to Him, so that we will repent before Him, so that He can forgive our sin and truly fulfill us. Listen to what he said in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near to thee, literally, lest they turn and bite you. Many sorrows shall be unto the wicked, but he that trusteth the Lord, mercy shall compass him round about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. What a joy it is to be right with God. Amen. What a fulfilled life your life can be if you're truly right with God. Amen. Oh, the devil told me for years, if you come to Christ, you're going to have to give up your pet sins. And I had pet sins. I usually ask our congregation how many were sinners before you get saved. And we've all had 100% hands raised. Amen. We were all sinners before we got saved. And we were not just sinners saved by grace. We are saved by grace. And we're delivered from the power of the enemy. Doesn't mean that we don't stumble, but we get up and we go on and we reject sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we fall into it, we repent of it. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean we can't sin, but we have a new bent toward righteousness when you come to Jesus. And the Bible said, if you have that life, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. In fact, shout for joy. When's the last time you heard a Christian in the congregation just fill up with such joy to the brim? They just holler. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, amen should be shouted, and joyous hallelujahs should come as we declare the great person of Jesus Christ and the great promises of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I believe in a noisy church meeting. I don't mean interrupting the service. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the joyful sound emanating from God's people. When we're right with God, we have the right to rejoice before Him, because if God is for us, who can be against us? When that guilt is lifted from our heart, what a load it takes off of us. We can literally cast our burden upon the Lord, and the great burden of guilt can be rolled over onto Jesus. Hallelujah. And we can go free. Praise God. David begins by laying out his theological understanding. David knows the secret of happiness is a right relationship with our Creator. We see this in verses 1 and 2. Happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Happy is the man whose sin the Lord doth not count against him. Amen? That is absolutely the foundation for happiness in life. It begins with a right relationship with your God. There's always going to be tension between you and your God. It doesn't matter if you win the lotto and you become exceptionally rich. You're not going to be satisfied, truly happy, until you're right with your God. The good news is, if you get a windfall and you're right with God, you can enjoy every blessing in your life, and you'll find fulfillment, windfall or no windfall. Praise God. Forgiveness of sins is the secret of happiness. It's the fundamental foundation stone of it, but because it restores us to a right relationship with God. And the incredible truth that David has understood is that forgiveness of sins is available. Forgiveness of sins is available. Sometimes we take it for granted, but really it's not at all obvious that that should be the case. The poet Heinrich Heine said on his deathbed, and I quote, God will forgive me It's his job. Amen. But that is just outrageous presumption, isn't it? As sinners fundamentally out of relationship with the holy God, we have no right to or expectation of forgiveness. Nevertheless, King David tells us forgiveness is available. And in verses 1 and 2, David describes for us the sheer comprehensiveness of the forgiveness for sins that's available to the believer. In verse 1, his transgression is forgiven. David knew how to repent. I don't know how we got such a negative spin on repentance. Repentance is one of the most positive things that you can do if you're a sinner, is repent of your sin. The message John the Baptist brought, who was the precursor of Jesus coming in his earthly ministry, to begin his earthly ministry. John the Baptist said, repent, make the crooked path straight, prepare ye the way of the Lord. To the church of Laodicea, Jesus says, repent. He said early on that you make me sick, but I love you, and as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If we repent, God begins a restorative work in our life. He restores our soul. Praise God. He restores the years, the book of Joel says, that the caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm, and grasshopper hath eaten. The locust in all of its stages of growth are devastating. And all of that devastation, God says, I can and I will restore. It all begins with repentance, getting right with God. A transgression is a breaking of God's law, an act of rebellion against God. And the Bible said we've all sinned. All of us, from the best of us to the worst of us, we've all sinned and broken God's law. We've all come short of His glory. Justice demands that it is punished. And in the Old Testament, law prescribes sacrifices to atone for transgressions. David has understood that God can forgive, although he doesn't yet know that God would one day give His own precious Son to be a sacrifice for sin. Again, in verse 1, his sin is covered. A sin is an offense against God. It's something offensive to Him. Sin is the foul garbage of our life. It needs to be buried and covered, dumped outside the city walls and the landfill site. David understands that God can cover sin, although he doesn't know that one day God would give His sinless Son to become sin for us outside the same city walls. He buries the garbage of our lives with Jesus in the tomb. And in verse 2 we read of sin that the Lord does not count against Him. The Hebrew here is actually a different word for sin. It is iniquity. It means moral perversity and depravity, or twistedness. It's our own inbuilt desire to do wrong rather than right. David understands that God can cancel the moral debt that it incurs. But like financial debts, moral debts can never really be canceled. Somewhere, someone is going to have to pay. David doesn't yet know that one day, in the cross of Jesus Christ, God will reconcile the world unto Himself, not counting men's sins against them. God Himself will pay the debt with this one true sacrifice of His only begotten Son. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the God, the merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that they by no means clear the guilty, visit and will by no means clear the guilty. You see, sin is forgiven for those who repent, not for those who in pride refuse to acknowledge our sin and come before God. He will judge those that have sinned, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and to the third and fourth generation. God in His holiness is obligated to judge sin, but God in His love and mercy offers forgiveness if we are honest and repent. If we are honest and repent. So King David has a very healthy theology of forgiveness. Although he doesn't enjoy the advantage we have of being on this side of the cross, he has understood thoroughly the God who revealed himself to Moses as the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins. Christians can rightly claim to be the possessors of true happiness because Christianity is the only religion in the world which takes sin seriously and offers a satisfactory remedy for it. Only in Christ can our relationship with God be restored. And I want you to know, friend, today, if you're not a Christian, today, this very day, you can bow before Him. Repent of your sin. That gnawing feeling inside, that guilt-ridden feeling inside can be alleviated. Those bones that just are like a storm going on inside your bones day in and day out, that can be alleviated today. That burden can be lifted. Praise God. We used to sing the song, "I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my life just rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great to be happy, glad, and free, even in the face of our impending death and in this flesh, knowing that our spirit is going directly to God and we're going to live with Him forever. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. There's nothing like that in all of the world. So why then are so many Christians so miserable so much of the time? Perhaps you've noticed the one problem in these verses for which no remedy is given. Look at the end of verse 2. "Happy is the man in whose spirit there's no deceit, no guile." This is the key. No remedy is given for this because the remedy is up to us. The deceit it refers to is the same as written about in 1 John 1 and 1 verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, everyone listening to this broadcast, including myself at the top of the list, we all are going to have seasons where we need to come before God honestly, transparently, and repent. You know, the Lord's pattern prayer for us says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Listen, friend, if we confess our sin, God said He's faithful and just in forgiving our sin, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and iniquity. Oh, I'd love to come before God and be honest with Him. Obtain His mercy and forgiveness through genuine repentance. And have that burden just roll away. Oh, it's so good to sing, "I'm happy, glad, and free." Hallelujah. You could sing that song, that great anthem of sins forgiven today. You could sing what these wonderful singers have been singing just prior to this broadcast. God can give a melody in your heart, praise and gratitude for the salvation, forgiveness, for the great future He has planned for you today. And wherever you're hearing this broadcast, I urge you, if you're not a Christian, open your heart. Invite Jesus to come in. Be honest with Him. He knows about your sin, but confess it before Him in honesty. And with an earnest heart, ask His forgiveness. He will abundantly pardon you. And if you're a Christian today and you're not completely open before the Lord, you haven't done business with Him about unforgiveness or some sin of commission or omission, and you know it's there, you want to be happy. You want your joy back. You want the Holy Spirit to flow freely to and through your life. You don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ah, friend, bow before Him. Defeat the enemy of your soul and your weak flesh right now. Confess your sin and be blessed and come up out of that repentance happy to be envied. Well, we love you. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.